Visa knows that local businesses are the heartbeat of our communities. Whether they're corner stores, our coffee spots, our favorite shops, local businesses have always been there for us. They remember our orders, they call us by name, always giving back, making a difference, going that extra mile to support us and to support our community. And right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So now it's time for us to return the favor. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at a local business. And look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community. Because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, official partner of the NFL. Okay, everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Beat. I'm, of course, Nick Baumgartner, joined today by Colton Pouncey, Michigan State writer here with The Athletic. Colton, we're back. Football's back. The Big Ten is back. Are you excited? Yesterday was quite a day. I mean, a lot going on, but are you excited for this?
It is. I guess that's a rarity. You know, sports writers aren't supposed to be happy about football, right? So, you know, I'm definitely excited. is that allowed? Yeah. But yeah, now I'm definitely excited. Yesterday felt like kind of a weight off of everyone's backs. Like, I was getting so just tired of all the back and forth. Like, and I know people are doing their jobs and just talking to people and just reporting what they say, but it was just a lot when you have it coming from so many different places. So I understand that part of it. I was just ready for all this to be over. I was like, just announce it. We all know what's going to happen. It's coming back. I know you're hammering out the details behind the scenes, but just get on with your lives and I'll get on with mine. So that's kind of how I was kind of approaching that, but it was good to see that Big Ten football's back.
It's a great way to put it. That's like, it was like the coaching search from hell. It was like a 6-week, you know, like coaching search on steroids. There were so many more things happening, but there really wasn't a lot happening. Yep. People, the misinformation, everything else. But obviously, yes, nice to get that over with. Nice to finally have some sort of a plan, right? We've talked about that so many times during the shutdown. Like, at least come up with a plan, you know, so people can go forward. I thought it was cool to see a lot of the players, either via social media, some players had interviews yesterday, some players have interviews at different schools today. All of them seemed like Michigan had interviews today, and they were talking about how guys just at practice yesterday or at their workout were just spirits were up. Everybody was a little more excited, a little more juice. So that was cool to see because, as we know, Colton, that August 11th date was just such a gut punch for everybody. So neat to see sort of everybody sort of have something to sort of wrap themselves around here going forward.
Right. And I, like, when they decided to postpone, I think the first thing was you felt bad for the players. Like, you understood that there's obviously the safety aspect of this and, you know, trying to keep everyone healthy and maybe football can wait. But you did feel for the players and they were going to be kind of like lingering effects of this. You know, the guys that were, you know, NFL prospects, would they opt out? A lot of them did. The guys that were trying to make it to the NFL, they would have to wait a little bit longer to prove that. And maybe that would kind of, you know, I thought like a guy like Joe Burrow, if he didn't have the season he did last fall, who knows where he would have been drafted. Great point. So you think about players like that and how much that affects them. And even just the regular players that are just there for the college football experience, they only have 4 or 5 years of doing this, and that was taken away from them. And obviously it wasn't their fault. So when that all unfolded in August, you did sort of think back to the players and kind of how this would affect them going forward. But, you know, they're all pumped. I was looking at some MSU Twitters. Mm-hmm. You know, Julian Barnett was pretty pumped to get back. Rock Lombardi tweeted, it's a great day for football, you know, stuff like that. So they're excited to get going. Obviously, I think, you know, the testing and the daily testing, right, that's like a game changer in this whole scenario. So schools can kind of say, well, this is what changed in the last month or so. So we can kind of move forward and we feel good about where we're at now. So just looking at where this was on August 11th, and like, it seems crazy that football is going to be played in a month or so, but, you know, this all kind of unfolded quickly, but it is kind of cool to see, and you feel good for the players, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's been interesting, especially for Michigan State. I think that there was some I don't know if twisted's the right word, but like some crossed wires messaging in terms of there was a belief from a lot of people, or a fair number of people, that Michigan State didn't want to play, right? And yeah, I think that some folks were conflating maybe the fact that Mel Tucker and his staff have had no time to prepare at all due to the pandemic. And if all things were equal, you know, were they going to really be hurt as a program if they didn't play this season? I mean, that may have been true one way or the other, but I think that may have been a little short-sighted in that while there were players on all teams that, you know, have decided to opt out, may continue to, may still do that, there was also, like you just said, Colton, a number of guys in every program that were like, I want to play. I want to have this. And every coach at every spot was going to do what they could to make sure that their guys not only were healthy and safe and everything else, but they were going to support them in that sort of quest too. So Bill Beekman addressed it yesterday when we had a Zoom with him that in no circumstances did Michigan State at any point express that they wanted no part of playing if nobody else was going to play, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
If it was safe, they're going to give a shot. If not, they weren't. Just kind of walk us through that sort of thing. It was a weird dynamic. It was different. But in some ways, I could see where maybe the perception would have been from a football standpoint, right? Like, well, I mean, if they didn't play this year, it's not really going to hurt Michigan State one way or the other because they're still going to have to work out through so many different things. But not having a season at all would have also been, you know, kind of a bummer too, in that they were excited to be able to go out there and give it a shot.
Right. And I was kind of confused where that perception came from. I guess if you wanted to look at MSU's leaders at the top, maybe that's where you could draw that conclusion. There were some reports that, you know, if the Big Ten did come back, not every school would come back, which I never fully thought.
Yeah,
like, why would you proceed? You're just, that's just another mess on your hand that you have to deal with.
Right.
So I never really bought into that. But if you are looking at Michigan State just by itself, you look at their university president, Samuel Stanley, who, you know, graduated from Harvard and has like a background in infectious diseases. And he's been kind of, you know, guiding the Big Ten. They've been kind of leaning on him a little bit as this all unfolded. So you kind of look to him where, does he think this isn't safe enough to play? You know, he's kind of shut down campuses and tried to make things go online during all this time. So maybe some people looked at him, but I never really fully got that indication that he would, you know, want to, even if they got to a point where they were restarting, I don't think he would block that a second time. Or if he did the first time, regardless, you know. So I wasn't really sure where that was coming from. Maybe you could look at Mel Tucker because he's been kind of even keeled during this. He hasn't been, you know, protesting in the streets or, you know, sending players off to the Big Ten parents off to the Big Ten headquarters or anything like that. You know, he's just been kind of, look, we're going to approach it how we want to approach it. Like, I believe in neutral thinking. That's what he said today. So Michigan State had been pretty quiet during all of this. But at the same time, like, Bill Beekman came out and spoke yesterday and was like, I really don't know where those reports came from. I believe he called it absolutely bizarre.
Yeah.
His exact words were, Michigan State has never in this entire process been anything other than completely enthusiastic about playing. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, it was just whether we're going to play or we're not going to play. And we're going to deal with it either way. That was Michigan State's approach on this the entire time. And they're pretty consistent with that. So I don't really know where those rumors came from, I guess, but it seems like Michigan State wanted to make that clear. Like, hey, if we can play safely, if we can play football, we're all in. We want to do this. You know, why would a first-year coach want to have that sort of delay? Everything that Mel Tucker's been through this year, I'm sure he just wants to get out on the field if he can. But
oh, yeah.
It wasn't up to him. So to me, it was like they just had to let this all play out, and it did.
And like you said, this is an even-keeled guy, the neutral thinking. He said that today. And he said that several times, actually, since he's gotten the job. That's kind of how he is. I mean, he's a pretty level-headed dude. He doesn't really get too, you know, jacked up about something that's not going to, you know, that he can't control and vice versa the other way. And I can understand where maybe because so much of this, you know, in a time when, you know, folks are sheltered and in place, I guess, or quarantined or whatever, people aren't meeting face-to-face. I can see where maybe some perception might have come out if you're not paying full attention of, well, you know, Michigan State's going to have to rebuild anyway. They've got a brand new coach without any time. He hasn't really been that vocal in terms of banging on the table like some of these other coaches have. So maybe they don't want to play. And I can understand where maybe that perception would come out, although I would say that, you know, when that gets reported as fact is when we have problems, because that's just not the reality of the situation. Obviously, as we know, they've spent, Tucker said today, they spent the last 5 to 6 weeks, whatever it was, since the cancellation or postponement, doing conditioning. Some 7-on-7 will happen today and through the weekend, and then regular practices without pads, of course. I think September 30th, Colton, is that right? The pad date that they can finally
get. That's what Tucker said. Yeah.
I mean, like, they had guys at the beginning of this, like every other team, that may have opted out, and they had a lot of guys that wanted to play. And like you said yesterday, it was pretty evident from all those players that wanted to play that they're going to go out there and give it a shot. What we don't know still, though, is ultimately how it's going to go. And I think that's just going to be the situation. And I think, and I, Austin and I were recorded yesterday on the RPM podcast, and I said the same thing at the time. I said, I'm going to note the date. It was September 16th. Today's the 17th. I don't want to hear it on October 24th from fans on Twitter complaining about bad tackling or a quarterback missing a receiver on a timing route or something like that. I mean, because all this is going to be so jumbled really across the board. I still think Michigan State's at a disadvantage in terms of not having enough guys or not having enough time with their guys. However, I do think that what's going to happen here, and I could be wrong, but in the college arena, I think we're going to find out who can coach and who can't. And I think we're going to find out who's full of you-know-what and full of shit, I guess we can say on this show, and who's not, because you're going to have to really cut the drag and get really down to business. And I think we're going to find out how well, you know, Mel Tucker can make an impact in this crazy situation with his staff, how well sort of mobilized they are to really kind of just get yourself through the first month of whatever the season looks like, through the next month of preparation, and then through the first month of the season, and understand that it will be a work in progress. But I'm really curious to see how sort of where they start at and then sort of watch them as they go, because it'll be really kind of fascinating. Because I think the premium on, you better have good coaches going into this. If you're going to play 8 games, whatever it is, and you want to not embarrass yourself, your staff, it better be really good. And we're going to find out pretty quickly, I think, what Michigan State's got.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point that I never really considered until now. Like, when you look at the landscape of the Big Ten right now, and college football, I guess you can say the same thing. It's like, you know, obviously Rutgers is not going to beat Ohio State this year. Like, the talent level, there's still a talent disadvantage there. But, you know, you're looking at the premier matchups in the league. You know, the advantage for an Ohio State over Penn State this year, you know, it might not be as wide just based on talent. Like, you can close that gap a little bit in a shortened season, you know, where you don't have a lot of time to ramp up. You're kind of moving, things are moving quickly, right? And and guys will probably get COVID and have to sit out. So, you know, this whole thing's going to look weird. And so, like you mentioned, it might just come down to who has a better game plan, you know, week to week basis instead of the long term aspect of the season. So that's a good point. I think this coaching part of things will actually be a little bit more focused. I know our guy Ari Wasserman likes to talk about stars matter and everything, but in this specific year, you know, coaching will probably matter a little bit more, like you said.
Okay, everybody, we've got another exciting sponsor to talk to you about today. Most of you, I think, are familiar with this one, Homefield Premium Collegiate Apparel. T-shirts, sweatshirts. It's about to be sweatshirt season. I think that's an important thing to remember, too, as we go forward here. The Big Ten's still trying to figure out what it's doing with college football. But Homefield will have you looking your best at the cider mill or all the other things you're going to have to do if there's no college football on the weekends. Yeah. I've already been to a petting zoo. I think I already had a question on that one. But if I had a Homefield shirt, maybe I would have been a little bit more comfortable. They've got the most comfortable vintage college apparel out there. That's an important thing to note. This isn't the junk you get off the rack at Walmart or Meijer if you're a Michigan person. Of course, Michigan State gear is fully available up on the Homefield website now for order. Eastern Michigan, Central Michigan, Western Michigan, Northern Michigan, Detroit Mercy with some cool stuff. All high-quality material, all vintage, and some crazy different logos that you've probably never seen before. I think there's also
the Detroit Mercy shirt is dope. It says like it's like Titan Country or something like that. It's this old like 70s logo. It's sweet.
A lot of those. There's a lot of those. Slippery Rock for the Michigan fans out there. There is no Michigan stuff yet. Although I don't know if they will or won't end up having anything, but there are new school lunches across the board. All very quality. I think that's the biggest point, right, is that it's all very high quality. It all looks great. It's different. It's not the same stuff that you see, you know, with the block or the, you know, the plain logo or whatever else. It's all different stuff that's high quality. You've got a school launch schedule coming out here, too, if you're fans of other schools. Auburn, I believe, just came out this week. Syracuse will be on the way. Some other ones, Mizzou, Florida A&M, Florida State, Grambling, Vanderbilt, some stuff coming to you as the season goes on. So always stay tuned to Homefield's Twitter account. They're super active, at Homefield Apparel. I think it's at Homefield Apparel with no E, actually. Homefield, H-O-M-E, Field, A-P-P-A-R-L. And, of course, as always, we have a promo code for you. So show some school spirit for your favorite teams or alma mater. Go to homefieldapparel.com and use the code BEAT, that's B-E-A-T, for 20% off your first purchase. That's homefieldapparel.com. Use the code BEAT for 20% off your first purchase today. No fans, obviously, Colton. It seems like, anyway, like I think the Big Ten said that indefinitely, I guess. We'll take that as, and we'll see about the parents, if they can come in or not. What else did you take away from Bill Beekman talking yesterday? He spoke with reporters for quite a while on all of this. Obviously, the rapid testing, as we know, a huge factor here. But sort of what else were your takeaways? I know you wrote about it this morning, but what else were some of your takeaways?
Yeah, obviously, I mentioned this earlier, but the rapid testing was really the game changer here. I do think it was a combination, like the protests by parents and stuff, that didn't fall on deaf ears. You know, those voices were heard.
Yeah.
I don't think that anyone that's claiming it was solely that reason is, that's just not the case. There are other aspects here involved. And I think the daily testing where, you know, they're talking about that on the committees that were in charge of bringing football back. And they're like, this is straight up a game changer. You know, you can test a player, get that result back the same day, isolate those guys that have tested positive and keep them away versus what they were doing. You know, you can test your team and release the data every week, but, you know, you don't really know if someone tests positive. Like, they could be asymptomatic and keep walking around, spreading that throughout the team, and then all of a sudden you have to shut down. So I do think this is sort of a game changer, and Beekman spoke about that a little bit. You know, something else he kind of mentioned was the budget and how the financial budget, impact of this. So he said, I guess the numbers were kind of interesting. He said, I believe it was $140 million is like their annual budget, mm-hmm. or something like that. And I guess by playing, they can get to $100 million.
He said basically break even, right? Like, I think that was
break
his,
even.
Yeah. Like, he thought that they could break even or get close to that by playing this year, by playing football.
Right. So basically, it just lessens the blow of what it would have been.
Yeah.
And obviously, even if you can play 8 games, it's not a full slate. If you can play 8 games and you can get some of that TV money back, like, that's going to save a lot of jobs. It's going to save you from making some tough decisions. And there will still be some to come. But to me, it was like, okay, this will lessen the financial blow. And that shouldn't be lost on anyone in this conversation. Like, that's definitely part of this.
Yeah.
Every school that's still continuing to play, like, the financial impact of this has to be certainly mentioned. But, yeah, I mean, he mentioned there's some new testing procedures, and the Big Ten laid out their sort of plans for what happens if you get to certain thresholds. So there's a lot of information to process. I'm still kind of going through everything myself.
Yeah, but
it seems like they did sort of take their time, and so they didn't want to come out and have, you know, the PR nightmare that it was last time. So it seemed like to me they did more of their homework and were trying to at least be a little bit more transparent this time. But they sort of just laid it all out there yesterday.
And then Mel talked today, obviously, and, you know, kind of went through the plan that they've had, which I think is kind of interesting. I mean, they could have taken these last 5 weeks and put helmets and shorts on and kind of gone out there and done a lot of football stuff, but they didn't. They went back into the weight room and stayed in the weight room, actually, he said, doing running and a lot of, like, skill work and change of direction, stuff like that. Stayed in the weight room to make sure they were in better shape than they would have been had this started August 11th, right? Like, that is an interesting thing to me, and I think it's probably a smart move because these next 5 weeks or whatever it is, once football starts, like, Monday – the information is going to start flying here, and like you're going to have to get yourself walking a real tightrope, I think, if you're Tucker and a staff, because you can't overload these guys in 5 weeks with everything. And they've had the playbook and they've had all this stuff obviously all year, but really when they get back out on the field and they get into a 7-7, even today or through the weekend, it's going to be different than running and lifting and getting yourself in shape and getting your body right. And that was obviously a top priority, top, right at the top of the list when the year began before the pandemic, was get them in the weight room, get them with the new strength staff, because it's all going to be different, right? We've talked about that this summer. That was a huge part of their sort of plan going forward here. But I think that there could be benefit to sort of keeping them over those last 5 to 6 weeks in a, hey, just train, get your bodies ready to go, because we don't know how this is going to go in terms of, you know, pulled muscles, groins, all this sort of thing is going to rack up. But once it really starts to get into football now, which I would assume, you know, Monday would probably be their first real, like, okay, here we go. We're gonna ramp it up and let it rip. It's gonna get wobbly. You know what I mean? It's gonna take a couple weeks for them to get their feet under them. What's your thoughts on sort of how they've sort of ramped up to this point? I don't know. When he sort of explained it today, and maybe Mel Tucker's just really good at explaining things that make it sound better. to me, it made sense. I mean, I when he said, no, we haven't been out there doing a lot of football stuff, we've been focused on what we're focused on, at first, in my head, I was like, I don't know about that. But then the more he talked about it, I was like, well, that actually might benefit them, because information overload and sort of that paralysis by analysis thing is going to be a thing for them in the next couple of weeks. You almost want it to be, because you want to see who can respond and who can't. But you don't want to make that more complicated than it needs to be, I kind of thought. What's your thought on all that whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as they shifted to the offseason format, like, obviously, if you can play football and you can do it safely, mm-hmm. that's option A. But they were pretty excited. Like, everything I've heard said that they were excited to get in the weight room, excited to have more time with Jason Novak, who, you know, came in late, didn't really have time to implement everything he wanted to implement. So they had a little bit more time to do that, about a month or so. And Tucker even said today, like, our team is, like, better conditioned than it was when we first started fall camp. And I think he sees that, and I think that's a product of the extra time they've had. So that, to me, was beneficial. Even if they started in the spring, they were still going to have some more time to just kind of, you know, get in shape, you know, get a little faster, a little stronger. That stuff matters, especially when you're trying to make a good impression in year one. Not saying you're going to win a Big Ten championship, but you want to get the ground going. That helps with recruiting if you make a good impression. So, you know, I think that extra time, even though it was a month instead of, you know, the full fall, winter that they were kind of expecting when things shut down, I think that's going to help them. I think it could help them hit the ground running a little bit more than they would have. And again, Tucker mentioned that. So I do think that time will help for sure.
I think it gives you a chance to really enter the football phase of this whole thing and not lose any steam. You know what I mean? Because if, and this is probably, you know, Mel Tucker's been around a long time, NFL, college, big programs, and understands, you know, what that's like when players leave for a long time and come back. Obviously this is different, but if they were to, you know, if they weren't in great shape on August 11th and they had to go out there and start practicing, it wouldn't have mattered, because, like, they would have gotten a week in and half the team would have been hurt. Like, that's, you know what I mean? Yeah. They would have lost time. You know, guys would have pulled groins, guys would have pulled hamstrings, and it still might happen. It still probably will happen. But the number should be lower, you know, given the fact that they spent more time working on their bodies and making sure they're in shape. We saw it with the NFL big time. You know, the guys that came back, that spent the offseason, it was such a weird thing, because there were some guys I felt like that went too hard in the offseason in the NFL. Like, their bodies, they pushed themselves almost too hard to where they got back to football time. They, like, sort of twitched out and hurt themselves anyway because they were too exhausted. There were some guys that weren't in shape and immediately got hurt and pulled, you know, whatever. And there were some guys that did it exactly right and sort of hit the ground at a perfect, like, sort of liftoff time, and it worked out for them really well. You're trying to find that sweet spot. And in college, when you can have them all here and they have had them all on campus and work them together, I think you can get yourself right into a good spot to where, you know, hopefully if you're Michigan State, you start on Monday, you put the pads on the 30th, and, you know, you're able to put some sort of base of what you're going to do. You know, Austin and I talked about this yesterday. Jim Harbaugh said, you know, give me 2 weeks and we'll be ready. That was like 2 weeks ago, and I was like, that seems like a bit much. I think most teams are going to need more than that to get their bodies right and everything else. And, you know, when you're looking at a situation like Michigan State, obviously it's really unique. Time management on all of this is going to be so, so important, because they just don't have any time to waste at all. So it seems like they have a plan. It seems like that they have a plan in place, and they're going to stick to it and go with that. Okay, everybody, we'll be right back after a brief message.
Hi, I'm Andy Staples with The Athletic. No matter what fitness fad you follow, one thing is true across every one of them. You have to get hydrated and stay hydrated. The best way to do that is Liquid IV. It is the most efficient way to get and stay hydrated, because each serving helps you get as much hydration as 2 to 3 bottles of water. Why is that? It's the optimal ratio of glucose, sodium, and potassium delivered into your bloodstream. I live in a place where it is scorching hot, very humid, lose a lot of water when I go out running. I drink a Liquid IV beforehand. I drink a Liquid IV when I get back. It feels great. Partial to the acai berry before, lemon lime on the way back. I'm not sure exactly why it works out that way, but those are my favorites. Also, if you've celebrated a little bit, it doesn't have to be a workout thing. Maybe I had a neighbor who was testing out smoked old fashions, and maybe I had a few. Maybe I had one too many. When I got home, I drank a Liquid IV right before bed. I felt fantastic in the morning. So how do you get yourself some Liquid IV? You go to liquidiv.com and you use the code ATHLETIC at checkout, and you get 25% off anything you order. That is 25% off anything you order when you use the promo code ATHLETIC at liquidiv.com. So get better hydration today at liquidiv.com, promo code ATHLETIC.
And the other factor here is, like, this isn't exactly like fall camp because these guys are in class now.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, they're still – they have coursework to finish. And, you know, even in season, you're not doing all the stuff that you're doing now where they're kind of ramping back and getting back into that football mode. They're – you know, at this point in a regular season, they're already done with that portion. So the stuff they're doing now is more like fall camp, but there are other factors involved at this point. That's – it's going to look a little different. So I think the stuff that Mel was talking about today, you know – he's like, Thursday and Friday, we're probably going to do some formation recognition with 11-on-11 and then do some 7-on-7 work. The big boys, offensive linemen, will do their own thing. Saturday, we're going to watch some film, do some light stretching. Sunday, day off. And then Monday will probably look more like a normal practice. So the way he's describing it, like, they are sort of having to navigate this and slowly ramp up. But I think by the end of the month, when they're putting on full pads, and then that'll be – a little over 3 weeks before the first game, I think that's when you can sort of look and say, okay, where are we at right now? What do we need to improve on? You know, who's good at this? Who's good at that? Who's bad at that? Who needs some work? You know, that's stuff that they haven't had a chance to see yet because they haven't even gone full pads even in August. So, like, all that evaluation period was lost in the spring. It was lost in the summer. So you're going to need to get some of that back. But it seems like they have a plan in place, like you mentioned.
And in some ways, I'm super interested in this because, like, I feel like this takes away some of a coach's natural, like, hesitancy to make a decision, because we see this so much in off seasons where it's like, hey, this guy is clearly better than that guy, but you're going to make him fight and scrap all the way through to the end before you give him the job. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like in some ways, you know, these next 2 weeks will allow them to, even without hitting, will allow them to see, you know, who mentally is capable of doing this, who just on a basic athletic skill set level is capable of doing this and who's not. So I think in some ways, if you keep it simple and sort of focus on what you need to focus on and forget everything else. And right now for Michigan State, it's roster evaluation. That's got to be the whole thing as they sort of go into, you know, putting a base in you know, base structure of what you want to do offensively and defensively. I can't imagine it's going to be super complex at all until things get going. But I also would say, again, to the same point, like, it probably didn't need to be super complex. It was probably going to have to be a little bit more, you know, basic, functional. I think that no one is expecting Michigan State to win the Big Ten this year, light the Big Ten on fire. 500 in an 8-game schedule feels like it'd be a good, you know, couple of months for Michigan State. There shouldn't be a lot of realistic expectation for them to just sort of like soar here. But if you look at this season and you take it as day by day and say, are they better on week 4 than they were in week 1 and then 8 and vice versa, you know, the whole thing. That's, to me, Colton, how we should look at this Michigan State season, I think. And whatever version of it, you know, comes forward is, are we seeing steady progress in the right areas and are you seeing development from the younger parts of the roster? That's the stuff, really, that's going to be the big takeaway, you know, as they go for 8 games, 9 games, whatever it ends up being. Maybe it's less, I don't know. But, like, that to me is the whole thing right here as we look at it.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And, you know, people all season have kind of been asking me, oh, what's my, you know, record prediction for this team? And I'm like, it doesn't matter. Yeah. It really doesn't, you know, especially – and that was before we knew we weren't going to have a full season. I was saying in March and February, like, record does not matter this year, guys. It just doesn't. So what you want to look for, the things you mentioned, like – progress from the young guys, maybe improvement from the seniors that can help you win some games while they're here. Mm-hmm. Just steady progress over the course of a full season. It's obviously not a full season, but still in an 8-game span, you can see who can play. And what I'm excited to see is, you know, the young guys that come in early.
Yeah.
Like how many of those guys have developed from the previous administration to this one? What are their roles going to be? You know, there's going to be some new schemes. Where do they fit in? It's like a puzzle and they're kind of plugging in different pieces. So to me, I'm fascinated to see how that all shakes out. You know, there's some guys on the team, maybe like a Dominique Long, a senior who hasn't, you know, gotten a ton of run over the past couple of years. He seems like he's been featured. He's, you know, we've talked to him on Zoom. Mm-hmm. He's been featured in videos and stuff like that. He's sort of taken on a leadership role on the team. I'm wondering where he fits in on this defense. Got some young players, Darius Snow, like Julian Barnett, obviously is going to be a feature on defense as well. Guys on offense, the young running backs that are coming along. There's so many pieces and so many unknowns with this team just because they graduated so many bodies. So, like, we're going in new to this. The coaching staff's going in new. And, again, we thought we were going to start in the spring, but I'm excited to see how this all shakes out in the next month or so.
Yeah, I think that's all of them being on the same page now. They're all in the same spot. They've all had to deal with this together, you know, and especially over the last month and a half. I got to think that it's made – if there was any issue with everybody getting on board with the program, which I don't think there was. It seems like everybody was, for the most part, buying into what they were selling. They've had to sort of go through this shared struggle that I would think, and we've seen this in a lot of programs, that, you know, guys have remained close. They've maybe been closer than they would have been otherwise, certainly through this summer, as things have been super unique. It's just such an interesting thing. I mean, there's a couple of staffs throughout the league and in college football in general, these new staffs, these first year staffs. I mean, like, we're going to find out, like I said, like, if you can coach, we're going to see it. If you say you can coach, but you really can't, we're going to see that too. Cause I think a lot of that stuff is going to show itself, if they make it 8 games, if we get to 4 in, like, we're going to know if there's progress happening, we'll see it. You know what I mean? And it won't have to be massive or, you know, big leaps, or you don't have to upset 3 teams or whatever else it is. I think you just show the progress you can show. The other note today, Mel Tucker addressed this one too. The dead period recruiting has been extended to January? Yep. January 1st?
January, yep.
So, you know, I mean, right now, obviously recruiting is still is an important thing, but so much about this, it's not a mulligan for everybody, but it almost feels like the season will matter. It will. And if your team is in a position where it's capable of competing for a title, that's going to be something that drives you.
Sure.
But in some ways, when you're looking at this from 3,000 feet up, it's like, I mean, it matters, but it's also like, you know, like you said earlier, like, does it? I mean, like, if they have a bad year, I don't think that's going to be the end of, you know, Mel Tucker, like, at Michigan State.
No one's going to be calling for his job after one year. You know,
and nor would I don't think it will even hurt momentum. I think their recruiting momentum will be what it is the minute they can go back out and meet with kids. Like, that at this point will matter more, I think. I think it'll help that they'll be able to sell some tape to kids and everything else of what they're doing and, you know, what your role will be, all this. But their momentum will start on the recruiting trail, and that's the most important thing here, when they can go meet kids face-to-face. I think that's still – so they're still sort of in the wait-and-see situation on that, and the season is not exactly nothing, but it's almost like a cherry on top. And I think that's probably why, going back to the beginning of our conversation here, the perception was that maybe they didn't want to play. I think, if anything, it would have been Mel Tucker probably telling you in a neutral mind, if we didn't play, we would have figured that one out too. It's, we weren't going to throw huge fits and we weren't going to stomp our feet and whatever else. We're going to see what happens. And, you know, thankfully for everybody, they get a shot.
Yeah. I mean, Bill Beekman kind of mentioned that the other day. He said Mel's been kind of able to make, turn lemons into lemonade, you know? And that's really been his mindset. You know, he doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. It's all the neutral thinking, like he said over and over throughout this offseason. And he sort of had to, like, just by default, like, you know, recruiting gets shut down. Okay, well, we're going to go online, do virtual Zooms and stuff. Okay, well, my team shuts down for 2 weeks. Well, the health and safety is first and foremost, so we're just going to take it as it comes. Mm-hmm. Season gets canceled. Okay, we're going to go into a workout format and we're going to be better the next time we can play. So he's sort of taken everything thrown at him and it's kind of like twisted it into a positive. So that's kind of been his mindset through all this. And, you know, in terms of what we should expect, like, we've talked about growth and everything, but the recruiting aspect, I still think, you know, the stuff that they're showing kids right now, it's clips of Colorado's offense or Kansas State's defense or something like that, and how you can fit into that. And I know that that's fine for some kids. Other kids just want to see, what can I do at Michigan State? I don't care about what you guys did there. Yes. I want to see what I can do when I get to your campus wearing green and white. Like, what? How do you see me in your defense, in your offense? And I think just playing a game, even if it's one game, and everything gets shut down.
Right.
If you can show them tape of one game, you on the sidelines, Mel Tucker coaching your team with your entire coaching staff intact, not all these different parts assembled from different places, right here in East Lansing, I think that that's a selling point, and that's going to help them. And obviously, he is sort of, you know, I feel like he's going to be a closer. He can get out there and go into living rooms. I think that's going to be advantageous for Michigan State in recruiting, just his personality and him going out on the road. He can't do that right now, but when he can, I think that's going to be the difference maker. But like you mentioned, with this dead period extended, that's going to be kind of tough, but they will have a season to at least show kids what they want to do here.
Okay, everybody, before we get back to the show, let's take a minute to hear about Indochino.
Hey, I'm Taz Malice of No Dunks on the Athletic. Do you want to walk into a room with your chest puffed out, your neck long, and your shoulders broad? Of course you do. For me, getting clothes that fit properly can give me the confidence I need to do just that. Indochino hooked me up with the gear that fits perfectly. I dreaded getting dressed for my Zoom meetings, but now I change for each one with a big smile on my face. I did a virtual fitting on Indochino's slick website for them to get my measurements. I didn't have to talk to a single human. There are so many options. Here are a few I chose. A long shirt, because I tuck it in. I got a No Dunks monogram, and I decided against a shirt pocket. I sincerely did not think that custom fit clothing was this affordable, and all customizations are included in the cost. The website keeps your measurements on file so you never have to re-enter them. The best part, Indochino suits start at just $2.99 with all customizations included. Indochino is a no-brainer if you're getting married. Visit one of the Indochino showrooms across North America. Or book a virtual appointment like I did and shop online at Indochino.com. And right now, you'll get $30 off any purchase of $3.99 or more when you enter code TASS. Not ass, TASS, T-A-S, at checkout. That's Indochino.com, promo code TASS.
Yeah, and kids will be able to see, you know, who am I competing against. I mean, that's part of it too, right? It's like, hey,
yeah.
I know what I know from last year, but I don't know what you have in terms of like a redshirt freshman or sophomore that's at my position that now has emerged. And maybe there is room for me and maybe there's not room for me. I think that's a big part of it too. Before we get out of here, recruiting is always important. I know that it's been challenging for Michigan State. Do we have any latest recruiting buzz, Colton, that's been happening at all that we can give the people? I know they love all the recruiting stuff.
Yeah, they did get a couple kids last weekend. Javon Grigsby, who was a longtime target. You wrote about him a couple months ago, like a little film review of, you know, Louisiana player. Probably would have been rated a little higher, but there's a lot of talent over there, so it's kind of hard to differentiate yourself. But I think he's going to be a good player. He's a hard hitter, not afraid of contact, will definitely go downhill and thump you. So he's a player that guys are excited about. I think they view him as a free safety nickel, maybe a star in that defense if they go that 3-4 option. And then they also got a pretty talented running back, Audric Estime from New Jersey, another New Jersey kid. Really powerful back. He's about 6'1", 6'1 and a half, if people are concerned about height out there. but I think he's got a good combination of size and speed. His coach was telling me that he's only 16 years old right now. He's not going to turn 17 until end of September, but he's really mature for his age. And I don't know if you've seen a picture of him, but he is just the most like built 16-year-old I've ever seen in my life.
Up.
So So I think coaches are excited about that and getting him in the weight room, getting him on campus next year. So I think that was big for this class. They needed some momentum, didn't have much, and obviously they kind of lost some when the NCAA announced these new restrictions going back to January. So. Mm-hmm. That's going to hurt them, I think, a little bit. I think there were some flip candidates that they're looking at. But if you can't get them to campus, it's going to be a little tough to change their minds. So some positive news, some negative news, but that's recruiting as a whole, right? So
I mean, it's all going to be sort of this way until they can go out and do something. And I guess technically we don't even know if that'll be the case in January. It's just that everything just keeps getting extended further and further back. But the next time Colton and I talk, we'll have more, I'm sure, football-wise to talk, because they will be able to go out there and do some team stuff, because I know a lot of folks probably have questions on who looks good at what, who looks good here, who looks good there, and the answer
I have questions on that.
Exactly, is we have no idea how what anyone looks like anywhere, and we won't know much of that going forward at all. That's what makes Michigan State really kind of fascinating, and in some ways, like, if I were them, I would be like, I'm not telling you anything until we get to October 20, whatever, because if I'm scouting them, I have Colorado tape to go on. I know the guys that could do what on last year's team. But beyond that, I have no idea what the hell. I don't know what they're going to do at quarterback. Nobody does, right? I mean, that's just a complete, you could throw a dart. I mean, that's not, you could have any theory you wanted, but it's not something that would settle. It would just be a guess. Same thing for everything across the board. It'd be a total guess. When coaches come into a season, some of them don't care about this. Some of them do, and some of them use it to their advantage. They just don't say anything. And then they go out there in that first game and you're like, what the hell is this? I didn't expect any of this. We could see it. I mean, it could happen. I mean, it could be pretty surprising.
Like D'Antonio tried to do that last year with the Brad Salem offense. Well, and like,
it doesn't work, man. You were there for a decade. Like, we know what you're doing.
But it's funny because some coaches are all for that sort of I'm not going to show you, and it's going to be advantageous for me.
Yeah.
Like, I remember Mizzou's new coach, Eli Drinkwitz, he came out and said, I'm not going to name my starting quarterback against game one against Bama. Like, that's going to help you, right, dude. Yeah, exactly, like, yeah, come on now. So you do have some coaches like that where I don't think it matters, and, like, I think you're just being a little bit paranoid. But if you're looking at Michigan State, you know, again, I don't think that they're going to compete for a Big Ten championship in year one, but you're talking about the shortened season, you know, no spring, a brand new coaching staff with some actually, like, you know, there's some good names on here. Like, Scotty Hazleton is a respected defensive mind.
Yep.
Harlan Barnett is back in the mix. You know, there's some good coaches on the staff. And if you look at it, I think they'll be able to, you know, probably bring these guys along faster than you would think. So, just it's going to be a weird season, man. So, I'm not going to count anything out. But I think a team like Michigan State could surprise
and
some
the other thing
in,
to
in some ways.
The other thing to remember, there is no preseason cupcake crap this year. You're not doing the – where we're playing – some team that we're favored by 47 against for the first 3 weeks, and then we'll see what we're really made of. You are going into, you know, whenever we get the schedule, the first game will be against the Big Ten team, whatever it is. So, I mean, like, it is going to be super fascinating across the league to see how much is kept under the hat. I think you can keep a ton under your hat if you want to. If you're Michigan State, you keep more than most. Rutgers could do the same thing, I guess, in theory, although their team's not very good. But teams with new coaches, if you have a new coordinator, if you have a new something – nobody knows. It's just going to be a total guess. That first week will be fascinating. Like you said, I mean, if your bodies are prepared and guys can handle things mentally, Michigan State is actually in a situation where they could be a difficult scout for somebody in that first week. It depends on the matchup, and we don't know what the schedule is yet. But that's what I'm super interested in. What's that? What is their first two or three games going to look like? And knowing Mel Tucker's been around the block as much as any first-time coach at a Power 5 level, really. I mean, I guess Power 5 last year, too. But as much as anybody like this, there could be some surprises. I wouldn't put it past anybody.
Colorado hung in some games last year that they probably should not have. You know, they finished 5-7, but they were close in a lot of games. So, you know, again, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see how it looks. I mean, I don't expect them to be great, but I'm excited to see how it looks. I think that's the one thing is, what's it going to look like? And I think I've kind of just talked myself in a circle here, but like what it looks like in week one might not necessarily be what it looks like in week two or whatever going forward. But I am interested to see how that all sort of shakes out. And I'm sure sooner than later, that date will be here and we'll be able to see what's going on. So, but until then, Colton, I appreciate you coming on this week. We'll have you back, I'm sure, as we go forward here, whenever they get into football stuff. Michigan State's been good about access, so I'm sure we'll get some stuff from the players going forward in the coming days, and obviously they'll be back out there doing football stuff too. So exciting times. Colton, you have any other restaurants you want to plug here before we get out of here? Lansing area for our Lansing folks?
Ooh. Not off the top of my head.
We'll get you back on that.
Brandon's going to be mad.
That's fine. He's off. He's on golf. He's not off. I keep saying off. Like, he's covering the U.S. Open. So he'll be back next week, I'm sure. But in the meantime, for Colton, I'm Nick. Be sure to tip your bartenders and servers, and we will talk to you later.
Ain't a constant sorrow. I seen hard times all my day.